The Gospel of St. Matthew. These are a portion of the teaching of Jesus in the fifth chapter of Matthew that sometimes all these teachings are referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. Hear now a portion of that, the words of Jesus. You're familiar with the command to the ancients, do not murder. I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder. Carelessly call a brother idiot, and you might as well find yourself hauled into court. Thoughtlessly yell stupid at a sister, and you are on the brink of hellfire. The simple mortal fact is that words kill. Amen. I remember several years ago when I was going through my divorce, I was talking to a friend, a pastoral counselor, one afternoon, and he said to me, tell me about how you're dealing with your anger. And I said, what anger? I'm not angry. And he said, oh, well, tell me about that. And I said, well, the Bible teaches that the perfect love of God casts out all fear. And I know that anger is rooted in fear. So therefore, if I know Christ and Christ is in me and God's love has come in me, it's cast out all fear. And if there's no fear in me, there can't be any anger in me either. So therefore, I'm not angry. And he just shook his head. And as you can well imagine, at that time, I was in a lot of denial, because perhaps the greatest fear in my life was to deal with the anger that I felt within me. It was more of an anger, it was more like a rage, and I didn't know what to do with it. It scared me, so I just denied that it was there. I said, I'm not angry, and just pushed it down. The truth is that anger is a normal part of our human emotions. Every one of us experiences anger. And as we're going through this series of messages on the seven deadly sins, we want to recognize that anger can well be a sin. It can be a deadly sin. It is not always a sin, but it well can be. In fact, it probably most often is. There are good or appropriate types of anger. For instance, Jesus in the Gospels, we find that one time Jesus is going to the temple. It's one of the high holy days. People have come back to Jerusalem to worship and to be in the temple. Part of the worship experience was bringing sacrifices to God as a way of atonement or penitence for their sins. Jesus found that the local merchants had moved their shops right up to the temple doors and then up into the temple itself. And if you'd come from a foreign country, you could go in there and exchange your money for the coin of the realm. If you needed to purchase certain items for your worship experience, for a sacrificial offering, you could buy it right there in the lobby of the temple. It would be as though that we opened up the doors of our narthex and we had people doing business and laughing and joking and carrying on in the narthex of our church while we're in here having worship. And Jesus became very angry. He turned their tables upside down and he ran them out of the temple. Now, it wasn't because these people were doing something that wasn't needed. Somebody had to do what they were doing to make available sacrificial items to the people or to change their money. But what Jesus was angry about is these people had become so crass about it. All they cared about was making a buck. They lost their sensitivity to the sacredness of the moment, of what was happening. That was God's house. and they were defiling it by their careless attitude. And that angered Jesus. It was an appropriate anger because they were defiling the things of God. And at times we need to have appropriate anger within us. Tony Campolo is an author and a theologian noted throughout the Christian church in the United States. One time, Campolo was speaking to an annual conference of one of our Methodist churches. And in the context of his comments, he told the people, he said, "You know what's wrong with you folks? You don't give a blank that thousands of little kids, millions of little kids around the world are going to bed hungry tonight." Now, in that blank, he said an expletive. He didn't say blank, he said the word. It was a vulgar word. It was a crude word. It's one that we wouldn't say in a church or in polite company. But he said it. So that's Campolo. That's his way. And he just blared it out to these people. He said, "What's wrong is you don't give a blank that millions of kids are going to bed tonight hungry." And then he was quiet for a moment. You could hear a hush in that place. It took their breath away. People didn't talk to them like that. But then he said, "You know, that's really not the problem." He said, "The real problem is that you're more angry that I use that word than you are that millions of kids are going to bed hungry tonight around the world." You see, there are appropriate uses of anger. And when we get angry enough about racism or poverty or oppression or injustice, we'll do something about it. We'll be motivated to take action when anger wells up within us and we become angry about the things that God is angry about. But when we're more angry that somebody breached social custom than we are that little kids are going to bed hungry, well, the little kids will keep on going to bed hungry. We may talk politely among ourselves, but God's children will die. So we need to be angry about the right kinds of things. And we need to understand that anger is a normal part of our human interaction one with another and in our relationships with God. There are times we'll become angry with God. And the focus that we need to have is to understand that we're all going to become angry. It's not a sin to become angry. The sin is what do we do with that anger? On the one hand, you can do like I tried to do and ignore that it's there. Maybe it'll go away if I act like it's not there. One of the things that we've come to understand about our human condition is that the emotions that you and I have inside of us are very simple. They're all connected one with another, the good and the bad. The emotion of anger is connected to the emotion of love or generosity or kindness or sensitivity. And it's like there's one on and off switch for all those emotions. So if you're angry and you decide that you're going to stifle it and not give expression to it, it's like flipping the switch on all of your emotions to the off position. And it makes it very difficult for you to be sensitive to people who offer to you acts of love and kindness. It makes it difficult for you to be sensitive to people who would be responsive to your offer of love or kindness because you've turned your emotions off, because you've chosen not to deal with part of your emotion, the emotion of anger. And that can be very destructive. It can be very dysfunctional to the human condition. As much as acting out on your anger. Some people are angry. And because they're angry, and they may have a good reason to be angry, somebody may well have hurt them intentionally, but they tend then to become angry themselves. And they find that their anger is an impulsive reflex to what happens around them. And they act out in that anger. It may become violent in their anger. It may be verbally abusive in their anger, but they give expression to it. And you and I have known people like that. People who will say something that quick to you and just tell you how they feel about what you're doing. And it may hurt you the way they say it. And that's, I think, the translation that we heard this morning from the Message in this part of Matthew's Gospel shows you that the intent of Jesus in that passage is to reveal to us that that little nursery rhyme or tale that we heard as children, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me, that's a lie. Words hurt deeper and longer than sticks and stones ever thought about hurting us, because they shape our whole life. And many times children who are the victim of rage and anger and people speaking harshly to them, that will shape their whole life for the rest of their life, lower their self-esteem and their sense of who they are as God's precious children. Oh yes, words hurt, and that's what Jesus was saying there. And some people are too quick to act out and to speak words that are destructive and are hurtful. Well, it kind of gives us a dilemma here, doesn't it? We know anger's real. We know that we all experience it. We know it comes into our lives. We either express it in some way or repress it in some way. What are we supposed to do with this thing that we call anger so it doesn't become a deadly sin to rob us of the joy of being the children of God? There are three things that I want to mention and how we can deal, and I think how we should deal with our anger. The first is to make up our mind that anger stops with us. And our model for this thought is our Lord Jesus when He was on the cross. Jesus was innocent. He'd committed no crime, yet He was mistreated, He was flawed, He was beaten, He was spit upon, He was slapped in the face, and He was crucified. And what did He do hanging on the cross? What did He say? He said, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." Jesus made a decision that violence would stop with Him. He wouldn't pass it on. And anger is a form of violence. It's a form of verbal abuse when it becomes expressive, or it can be physical abuse if it's expressed to its ultimate end. The people in control of the religious thought at the time of Jesus were angry at Jesus because He threatened them. He threatened them with their control over the people. And they didn't like that. And they acted out in an angry way and crucified our Lord. But Jesus made a decision that He would live out the model of the suffering servant and say that anger stops with me. I'm not going to pass it on. And so our first understanding of how to defuse anger so it doesn't become a sin in our life is to say, I'm not going to pass it on. When somebody acts out against me, I'm not going to act out against them. I'm not going to retaliate against them in anger, either verbally or any other way. But it's going to stop with me. I'm not going to pass it on. The cycle of violence stops. Now you say, well, wait a minute. Just a moment ago you said you're not supposed to stifle your anger. But you're saying it's going to stop right there. Yes, the impulsive response is going to stop right there. But then we go to step two. What do we do about it? We know we're angry. What do we do about it? Somebody has hurt us. Somebody has come into our sphere of influence, to our environment. They have done something by word or by deed, and it's angered us. It's hurt us. What do we do about it? Well, again, We go back to the Scriptures, which is our rule and our guide for our daily life. And we see what God has revealed to us as a model for our life. In Psalm 137, we find a recording of words to God that give expression to the people at the time that the Babylonians and other people had come in and conquered Israel. They had destroyed Jerusalem. They had taken the people captive, and they were taking them back to another country where they would become a form of a bond slave. And on the journey out of Jerusalem and into this foreign country as slaves, with their lives totally disrupted, their families broken apart, their captor said, "Why don't you sing songs to your God now? Get out your musical instruments and let's hear you praise this great God of yours." In Psalm 137 shows how the people responded when they were so mocked by their captors. Along Babylon's rivers, we sat on the banks, we cried and cried, remembering the good old days in Zion. Alongside the quaking aspens, we stacked our unplayed harps. That's where our captors demanded songs, sarcastic and mocking. "Sing us a happy Zion song." Oh, how could we ever sing Yahweh's song in this wasteland? "If I ever forget you, Jerusalem, let my fingers wither and fall off like leaves. Let my tongue swell and turn black if I fail to remember you. If I fail, O dear Jerusalem, to honor you as my greatest. Yahweh, remember those Edomites, and remember the ruin of Jerusalem." That day they yelled out, "Wreck it, smash it to bits. And you Babylonians, ravagers, a reward to whoever gets back at you for all you've done to us. Yes, a reward to the one who grabs your babies and smashes their heads on the rocks." Amen. Those are some tough words. Those are some angry people. Can you hear that? It's not hard to imagine their anger when they're asking for revenge against these people who have so hurt them. But that's outrageous. God's people wanting the babies in this other land to be smashed against rocks. They were just being honest. You've got to understand, their babies had been killed. Their families separated. They had been the victims of torture and murder and rape and pillage. They were very angry. But also, in the midst of that anger, can you see that they turned it over to God? They said, "Oh God, you go do that." Now, God's not going to go do that. But the point is that they turned their anger over to God and said, "God, you handle this." You may recall that last fall when we were looking at the attributes of God, one of the attributes we saw was that God is Jehovah Nissi, the banner over us, our protector, the one who fights for us. And what the psalmists were saying there is, "Oh God, fight for us against the Edomites, against the Babylonians for what they've done to us." And the model for you and I is, in terms of dealing with our anger, is to turn it over to God and say, "God, will you get even for me? Will you get them for what they've done to me? Will you wreak revenge for me in your name against that person?" And you say, "Well, that's not a very Christ-like attitude." Well, that's okay. Trust God. God doesn't do everything you tell Him to do, but it gives expression to what's in you. You honestly express to God what's going on in your heart, that you are angry, that you are hurting for what has happened to you. Sometimes God Himself will be the one that you ventilate that anger toward. We know that in the process of grief, you go through several steps of blaming yourself sometimes for something bad that has happened in your life, for the loss of a loved one. But we also know that for Christian people, religious people, many times, if not every time, the process of grief includes being angry with God. God, how could you have let that happen? Why did you let that happen, God? God can handle our anger. He can handle our anger at Himself, and He can handle our anger at one another. Be it a child, or be it a spouse, be it a pastor, be it a neighbor, be it an employer, be it an employee, whatever it may be, God can handle that anger when we express it to Him and ask Him to fight for us. And so that's the second step. The first step in defusing anger as a sin is to make a commitment to yourself that the violence, the cycle of violence of anger stops with you. You're not going to pass it on. The second thing is, because you know you need to deal with it, you're going to deal with it with God. God, will you fight for me? Will you avenge me for what has happened to me that has caused me to be angry? And the third thing is then we listen to God. When we listen to God, impart wisdom to our soul. You see, God works all things together for our good. The Scriptures tell us that even things that are meant for evil, God uses for good. And so therefore, we want to listen for the instruction of God to our heart and to our soul. God, what's happening in my life here? This has pushed a button within me. Why did I respond so angrily? I'm in the parking lot. I see a parking place. Somebody pulls in it before I do. And I say things inside that car that I hope nobody else can hear. And then you sit there and think, why did I respond so angrily? Somebody took my place or somebody cut me off when I was driving. God will tell you. It may be that you're in a situation and you're like many, many people in our world that want their environment and their life to be in control. I don't know any of us that want to be out of control where things just happen as random circumstances and we never know one day to the next what's going to happen. And some people get so concerned about situations like that they want to control every aspect of their life, which means they control the people as well as the circumstances in their life. And sometimes something will come along and just turn your little controlled world upside down. Somebody will suggest something new. Do it a different way. Do it this way. And you find that you respond yourself in an angry way. You say something sarcastically or strongly that hurts somebody else's feelings. But at the time, you're angry yourself because you feel hurt. Somebody's invaded your sphere of influence. But in prayer, you ask God to show you what's going on. Why did something like that cause you to react so quickly? And God will reveal, maybe you need to loosen your grip. And let God be in control. God might be sending things in your life that would bless you, and you're keeping those things out because you're trying so desperately hard to control each and every step in your life. And maybe He wants you to loosen your grip. On the other hand, you might be the victim of somebody who lashed out verbally. Or maybe you were ignored. Maybe you wanted somebody to be there and they weren't there. Maybe you needed somebody to do something, they didn't do it. Maybe somebody said they would do something and then they failed to follow through. And you're angry about it, but you've made that decision that you're not going to pass on anger. You're going to let it stop with you. That you understand that you're called to follow after Jesus as a suffering servant. So you've done that, and then you're going to tell God about it. God, this person hurt me. They ignored me. They didn't do what they said they were going to do. I needed them and they weren't there. And then you listen. Listen to what God has to say to your soul. Why is this concerning you? And maybe it should concern you. Maybe somebody is taking advantage of you. Maybe somebody is failing to do what they need to do. And what God might say to you is for you to implement the way of Christ by sharing the truth and telling the truth to another person in love. And that's a hard thing to do. But God may be calling you to do that. Because many times in our anger, what happens is people hurt us. They say things that hurt us, or they're not there for us when we need them to be there for us, whatever the case may be, and we get hurt, and what do? We pull back. We pull back. And we want to hide. We want to retreat so that we get in our environment where nobody else can hurt us. Now, maybe I'm the only one that does that, but I know that's how I tend to react. One of the things that I do for myself every now and then is I take a personality profile test about every 2 or 3 weeks to see how I'm feeling in terms of my interaction and relationships to other people. The reason I do that is I know that part of the thing that I struggle with in life is that I am an introvert by nature called to work as an extrovert. And that's hard for me to do. And so I have to really monitor what's going on in my life at times to understand the struggles that I'm going through. Well, here in the last couple of weeks, I've just had some things that have happened with family and friends and others, and it was really starting to get next to me a little bit. And I felt myself pulling back. So one night I came over and I pulled up this place on the computer where I could run down that test. And it didn't surprise me what I found. I scored 100% in the introvert category. What that told me was I'm pulling away. And I need to be conscious of that I make some extra effort to step out. Because I know that I tend to pull away. I don't like confrontation. I don't like to deal with things that are difficult. I don't know that anybody that really does, but I certainly don't. And so when I'm thinking about this thing about anger, I'm really thinking about how I tend to respond in it and how important I know it is for me to listen to God when He tells me how I should speak the truth in love to people when they have stepped on my toes, they've come in to my environment, and they've hurt me in some way. And that's a hard thing to do. But it's something that we need to hear. How many times have we been in situations where people have hurt our feelings because of what they've done or what they've said, and our tendency is to pull back and just let go and do nothing? What happens then is we become what the psychologists call passive aggressive. That is, we pull back, yet our attitude becomes a little bit aggressive toward other people. Remember when I talked before that when we stifle our emotions, it's like flipping that on-off switch? When we've been hurt like that and we don't deal with it, it's like throwing that switch to the off position. And we're not able to process and respond to the loving nature of things because we're too hurt to respond to the things that have hurt us. And I know this is difficult. A couple of weeks ago, my daughter Tammy did something that really aggravated me. And my normal course of reaction was just ignore it for a while. But I knew that, I can't do that. I need to learn to deal with things better than that. And so I told her, I said, Tammy, when you did this, I felt this way, and it really aggravated me. Well, she responded the way people typically respond. She got her feelings hurt. She got defensive and she didn't speak to me for 3 days. But then we got over it. But the important thing is we learned something from it. I learned that it's okay to express my feelings when I express them in love. And she also learned that there are limits that she needs to honor in our relationship, and there's ways of responding that are appropriate that she needs to understand in any relationship. So we both grew through that process. Can you see that? And so what we learn to do as we listen to God in this third step is we learn then to go to a brother or sister in the Lord or somebody in our family and just say the simple things. You know, when you did this, it made me feel this way. And it hurt. And then you let it go and trust God with it. Now, I can't guarantee that they're not going to tell you, well, tough, get over it. And just be rude to you again. But remember, you're not responsible for how they respond. What you're responsible for is how you hear God and then how you respond to the wisdom that God imparts to you so that your relationship may grow. The Apostle Paul writes to the Philippian church in Philippians 2:5, let your relationships with one another come alive from your life in Christ. So our relationships, be it among friends or be it within our family, are meant to model after the life of Christ within us. And when we trust Jesus to lead us, then we can speak the truth to one another in love. And when we've done that, we have thoroughly broken the cycle of violence and of anger. And we've dealt with it in appropriate manners that allows everybody to grow. I don't know. I remember several years ago a good friend of mine telling me that as the story unfolded, he said many years ago he had been at a family function and they were standing around talking and his sister was right near him and they were talking about her husband. And then, in a few minutes later, he made a comment about somebody being a son of a gun, but he didn't say gun. And then they went on, you know, with the rest of the social function. It's probably like a Thanksgiving family gathering or something like that. But for years after that, his sister was always very cool toward him. Standoffish. The relationship was strained. They were not close at all. Nothing was said. They just went for years that way. Finally, the sister couldn't stand it, and she went to him and she said, you know why I'm so mad at you? It's because 15 years ago you called my husband a son of a gun. Well, the truth of the matter is, her husband was a man that he admired and respected above all others. Considered him not just a brother-in-law, but a friend. They hunted together. They fished together. He was referring to somebody else that was a son of a gun, not his brother-in-law. It was a misunderstanding. But she got angry over nothing, in a sense. But she stifled it. And when she stifled it, she flipped that switch. And you know, not only were her relationship with her brother affected, but that also affected relationships with all of her family, because when you shut down in one area of your emotions, all of it starts flowing down and shutting down. And because she didn't turn it over to God and listen to God, and then she wasn't able to go and say, you know, when you said that, that really hurt my feelings. They just missed so many years of their life. And had she done that, it would have been resolved that quick and seen for what it was. God wants us to work together and love together and get along together in His kingdom. His kingdom is right here. This is His kingdom where we live, working together in the church and in the community. And when we make up our mind that we're not going to pass on anger, and we tell God about it and let God meet our needs, and let God show us how to respond to one another in love, we'll find that we have truly broken the cycle of violence of anger and stifled that sin in our life. If we don't, that sin can disrupt the family, it can disrupt the church, it can disrupt the whole community, because it is a deadly sin. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we tend to We get so pulled back in the ways that we live today. We're separated by fences and cars with windows rolled up. We tend to go home and stay home. Father, we're almost like that we have a cocoon that we run to and try to hide in all the time. Yet you created us to be in community, to be in fellowship with one another. And Father, we tend to resist that because it's such hard work. We ask you this morning to grant us grace, not to pull back, but to step forward. We may walk in your love. Set us free, O Lord, by the power of your grace, the spirit of anger. Create within us, O Lord, a willingness to break the violence of anger right now in our lives, not pass it on to anybody else, to trust that you will fight for us, and that you will give us the wisdom that we can speak the truth to one another in love. Well, this is our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen.